It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
Boomer and Geo coming to you live for the Build Ford Tough Studio on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. You miss anything? Check out the free Odyssey app. Use the rewind feature, the chapters feature. Opened up talking about the Knicks. Done a lot of draft today as well. Want to get your calls in from the weekend, whatever you want. 888-808-1019. Let's go to Tony, who's in Connecticut. What's up, Tony?
Yellow,
Tony.
Hey, I'm Tony Two Shoes. I'm gonna send some shoes to the two of yous. All right, I'm gonna send you some Kane Revive. We're a local company from Connecticut. I'm gonna send you each a pair. All right.
Yeah, size 12, Tony Two Shoes.
You got it. Jeremy Hills. He's a NFL trainer. He's one of our guys. But
nice.
Yeah. I got a question for you. So, looking back at Tommy DeVito, so, you know, he was kind of like a bright light in a dark time, right? He's fun to watch. He played well. Do you think that there's a scenario, or do you see, like, qualities in him where he could go to another team and kind of really be, like, a leader or have, like, kind of a grander career, especially if possibly the Giants are going to cut him?
Yeah, you know, Tony Two Shoes, I really like Tommy DeVito. He joined us in one of the Boomer and Geo lives.
With cheese.
He's awesome. I think he was perfect for the Giants at that time coming in. Unfortunately, he won some games and had success that knocked him out of the top three in last year's draft. Could he go somewhere else and make an impact? I mean, hell, I thought Mike White was going to go somewhere else and make an impact, and he never really got that opportunity in Miami. He's up in Buffalo now. I wouldn't rule anything out with that guy's work ethic and passion. But I don't think teams are going to be tripping all over themselves to try to bring Tommy DeVito in to start for him.
You know what, though? I think the team really actually does really, really like him.
Yeah.
You know, why? Because, you know, he's no-nonsense. Like, he had some fun with the whole Tommy DeVito jersey Italian thing. But at the end of the day, he went to work every day, was a good teammate, busted his ass on the practice squad, and he can throw. I mean, mm-hmm. he could really let it rip. So I would not be surprised if somebody else is let go. You never know how things work out. You'd like to have four quarterbacks on your roster, one on the practice squad. You know Jackson Dart is not going. I would think you're going to have this kind of draft choice. He is going to be dressing for games. You know what I mean? Like, he is going to be an active participant. But if you told me that they would get rid of Jameis Winston, I wouldn't be surprised.
Well, wouldn't that kind of be, I mean, ridiculous, though, to sign that guy? I understand it's not a lot of money, but, I mean, you sign him, you bring him in, then before he's even a part of the team, you cut him?
Well, no, I'm just saying, like, after training camp, you may end up having to cut him.
Okay.
Like, you know, when they get down to, you know, the real hard numbers and looking at who they think is going to be a good fit and who's going to be a good mentor for Jackson Dart,
mm-hmm.
you know, Tommy DeVito may recognize, hey, look, my time has come. I've had an opportunity. I have played. But, you know, Tommy DeVito may be a good mentor for Jackson Dart. You never know.
Yeah.
It's another thing that they'll look at. They'll look at relationships, the way people are getting along with each other, how the team is built. That's all part and parcel of building a team when you're coming out of training camp.
Let's go to Patrick, who's out in Detroit. What's going on, Patrick?
Hey, good morning, guys. Happy Monday.
Happy Monday, Patrick. What's on your mind?
Hey, I just thought real quick before I ask that question, I just want to say I really appreciate your guys' support for military and police. Come from a long line of fans and that stuff. So when I hear your guys' stuff on the show, I've been listening for a while. Just love to hear it. It's awesome. I served in 1st Battalion, 2nd Marines, and I was in Afghanistan 15 years ago. Today was the day one of my great friends unfortunately stepped in IED. So to hear you guys talking about it and all the great praise, it really really makes me feel good. So glad to hear it, guys.
Well, of course, and thank you for all you've done, and I'm glad that you can listen and appreciate it, and I'm sorry for your loss. I know that once these anniversaries come around, it's a tough thing to deal with. So I'm hoping you're able to have some great memories today of the time that you spent with your friend serving. So what else do you have for us today, Patrick?
So, yeah, I appreciate it. Always celebrate the day, you know, celebrate their life. But back to my question. So the Jets draft, huge Jets fan. I was a little surprised by them not going for one, not getting a defensive tackle in the latter draft rounds. You know, that was kind of a position they needed, and there was a lot of depth in the draft for that position. And what'd you guys think about them not taking a quarterback either, which I kind of thought was a little surprising.
I would say I would categorize this as a no-frills draft for the Jets, like a substance draft, and a draft that reflects their head coach. I think he's gotten bigger people. You got a big cornerback in this draft, 6'2" cornerback. Obviously, Armon Membu, we've heard from him. He's going to be a perfect complement, hopefully, to Olu Fashanu, who'll be the left tackle, and then Membu will be the right tackle. I mean, I think, it wasn't flashy. There were no big expectations. They got a nice tight end. The kid from LSU is 6'5". He's about 260 pounds. So that should be a solid player for them. The other kids I can't really tell you much more about other than that. They come from really good football schools, Georgia, Alabama, and Miami. So you just got to hope that those kids can figure it out. This Arian Smith as a wide receiver is kind of interesting to me.
Yeah, I know I reference Gruden a lot, but I do love the guy. That's one of his favorite.
That was one of his favorite guys in the draft.
In the entire draft, and before the Jets drafted him. So it's not like he was like sucking up to the Jets or anything. He said, when he was evaluating all the players, he loved that guy. So something to keep an eye on. As far as the defensive tackle stuff, we were just talking about that. The Bills jumped ahead of the Jets a couple times and took guys that we thought were going to the Jets.
That's exactly right. And the other thing, too, I will say about this is that you can feel the major shift in the way the Jets are doing things. You could feel it. You could see it. You could hear it in their comments about the people who they've drafted. This is Aaron Glenn. And the influence of Bill Parcells has taken over. It was one of the reasons why he was hired. It was one of the reasons, Bill has been a big person in his background, as Dan Campbell has been, who was also influenced by Bill Belichick, as Sean Payton was influenced by Bill Belichick, and Darren Muji comes here. So these guys all understand the way to get it done. And it seems to be like they're trying to do everything under the radar, nothing flashy. They're not going to go down these roads with these crazy, free agents and draft picks and all this other crap. It's going to be all about substance for them.
Yeah, and the type of character the guys are, and you talk about the loving football thing. Aaron Glenn has mentioned that many times. And as far as not taking a quarterback that the caller asked about, I'm not surprised at all he didn't take a quarterback. I mean, this draft was really not known for the quality of quarterbacks this year. And, of course, we talked a ton because the Giants needed one and the whole Shador thing and everything else, but they brought in someone in Justin Fields that they're going to give a real opportunity to be the future of the team. This is not Russell Wilson or Jameis Winston, a stopgap, and then you hand the keys over to Jackson Dart, who you drafted in the first round. They're going to see if they can.
They're going to try to Baker Mayfield.
Yeah, Justin Sam Fields. Darnold. Sam Darnold too.
They're going to try to do that, and maybe they catch lightning in a bottle. Maybe they don't. And if they don't, that means they're not going to have a great season. If they don't have a great season, there'll be plenty of quarterbacks next year that they can draft.
Yeah. And as far, Armon Membu, everything about him, I love. From the second that I heard him be interviewed, looking at the tape, the wrestling stuff. So, yeah, I mean.
And two things, though, that did come true that two guys did predict. And the one guy is Brian Baldinger.
Oh, yeah, big trade.
Remember
he
the
did
big
say.
Trade thing that he put out there?
He said, I know what's going to happen, can't say it, but it's not an if or when, buckle up. And that was obviously the trade up to get Travis Hunter between the Browns and the Jaguars.
That was a great job, right?
Yeah.
And then I'm trying to think the other thing that happened in this draft that was really interesting. I'll think about it in a minute because I see you got another call here that seems like it's going to be pretty funny. I don't know what the hell Al put up here.
Yeah, it's just letters. It's not anything. I really don't see words in here.
Are you trying to say Ungalele?
Yes.
Oh, all right.
Ungalele.
Ungalele or Ungalele?
Ungalele.
All right. And then you have parentheses. He's got a lot going on here.
What do we got here?
It was so distracting to Boomer. He just knocked him off his game. He was going to tell another story. He looked over there and saw just a bunch of letters.
Yeah, there were two things about this draft. Yes. What the hell was the other one?
The other predicting things that came true.
Somebody predicted Jackson Dart above Shador Sanders. And I forgot who it was. And this was like months ago.
Yeah. Okay.
I forgot who it was.
Nick in Long Beach. What's going on, Nick?
Guys, hey, how's it going? Happy Monday. Hopefully, if your clubs are open, you got out to the course late. I swear this was supposed to be the forecast yesterday. Played in like 35-degree weather there.
Windy yesterday, man.
Yeah, wasn't that fun. A question for you guys around kind of what you would call this new age for high school kids going into college. You had I'm a Clemson grad. So, DJ, you and Galele, a five-star out of St. John Bosco, we thought he was going to be like the second coming. Trevor Lawrence was sat in that COVID game against Notre Dame, throws for like 450 yards. And then you have Cam Ward, zero-star, right? Nobody hears of him, but he gets to bounce around, you know, over the next 3-4 years. Comes out first-round draft pick. DJ Uiagalelei at the same time exposes himself. What do you guys kind of think about whether it's the NIL, whether it's, you know, waving the redshirt stuff, how that probably plays into seeing like a five-star go undrafted?
You know, on a zero-star. I don't think anything. I guess you could use the five-star rating system or the star rating system coming into high school. I mean, and you could see a kid whether or not he can play, and then you're going to give him a chance to go play at a major university. You know, I think it's all about the kid's maturity, how he grows up, you know, how dedicated he is, how focused he is, and whether or not he's like a social media maven right now.
Yeah.
And, you know, that doesn't seem to be like a lot of these kids that get drafted in these middle rounds, like a Dylan Gabriel. I mean, I don't really know much about him, only watching him on the field. Will Howard, we know, is just simply because he went to the championship game and was a part of Ohio State, which was on national TV every week. I just think Cam Ward figured it out. He was probably a great athlete in high school, but you know, nobody really knew him. And then as he started to bounce around and he started to get around different types of people, he ended up picking up the game and really showing some explosiveness. And maybe he matured late, and now all of a sudden his interviews probably went really well.
Yeah, that guy was struggling with the name of that quarterback almost as much as you did those years ago.
DJ Uiagalelei.
Sir.
Go ahead.
Uiagalelei.
DJ Uge.
Uiagalelei.
DJ Uiagalelei. Is that right?
No. Uiagalelei.
DJ Uiagalelei completed 29.
No, you added.
Uiagalelei. Oh,
Eddie loved this
one. Uiagalelei.
Not Galay. Uiagalelei.
DJ Unge. Uge. Uiagalelei.
Not Galay. Lele.
God.
Uiagalelei.
One more time.
Uiagalelei.
Not Anga. It is not. There's a guy in there.
Yes, but not two.
DJ come on, Jesus! I said this 1,000 times last week. Uiagalelei. I remember Eddie was just tormenting me all morning, just trying to get me to say it and say it and say it. And I'm sitting there going, you know, he's just going to kill me with this.
When you go, there's a guy in there. And then he goes, there is, but not two. Gaga. It's lale, not lala, lu, gooey, ooey gooey, ungalale. Oh, God, I'm glad you can laugh at that.
Why not?
Well, you know, some people are tight asses about silly things.
Oh, I don't care, man. It just doesn't matter. Just because you show we're all human.
No, of course. Listen, there's things that are much less complicated to pronounce than that I have big problems with. You know, I have to say that, you know, some of these reads that I have.
So I've done about 15,000 sports minutes.
Wow. Jesus.
Okay. And some days, like today was another day. There's another one in there today.
Struggle bus spot?
A little struggle bus spot, yes.
Yeah. Well, it happens after a long weekend, too. You know, come in, trying to get that tongue working again.
Slap your face.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Al Dukes looking for credit when donating knows no bounds as he pulled a move on Saturday night. I really have to tip my hat to, as you know, there's a portion of the fundraiser in the black tie dinner where if you donate on your phone, your name pops up very quickly up on the board and then until someone else donates. So if you donate in the middle of it, you might see your name for a split second and someone else donates. Well, Al waited to the very end of that when everybody had stopped donating and the thing was still up on the screen to donate, so his name was up there for like 2 minutes.
Oh, really? He got the longest, the longest view.
By far.
And not only that, the way it appeared on his screen, it said, "Thank you, Al Dukes, for donating $117,000. Because it had the total. It looked like I donated that.
So that was a little bit of a glitch. Actually, to let you know, I told them to do that on purpose.
That was perfect.
Yeah, because I knew you would love that.
Oh, I took a photo of it and everything.
Oh, yeah. You had enough time to take a photo. I couldn't even get my phone out to get mine up there. I mean,
mine
geez.
Didn't go up.
It didn't even go,
no.
Yours didn't even go up there?
No.
Oh, man.
I wanted my credit.
I know what to do next
Jerry,
year.
You don't need, I know what you
oh,
do,
Oh, whatever.
It's I know.
It's, but it was funny. The one I was disappointed in Al because he had a great idea. I mean, a great idea. He wanted to be the first person to bid on the Eagles watch.
So I knew what the watch went for last year.
Yeah.
So then I said to Jerry, I said, I might be the first bidder. Maybe I'll bid. Boomer be like, oh, look at Al getting in the mix, knowing I'll get outbid. But then my luck, I'd bid, and then no one would bid.
What I was going to do, if you would have done that, I would have said, stop it right there. I was buying it. There.
Not only are you going to get the watch, we're going to send you to Africa as well. So congratulations.
That would have been great. You guys are great, man. I appreciate it, man. I appreciate everything you guys do for me and do for our foundation.
And we got to sit with Jeremy Schapp, which was really cool.
Nice Jeremy guy. Was there. Yeah, they did the Second Wind documentary, and he and his guys were there, and they're up Emmy nominated for their piece. So good luck to those guys.
Yeah, we had a talk about that competition and everything and what they're up against. So I said I'm pulling for you guys, but there is a Pat Tillman documentary there as well. Mm. So
well, the good story is that I'd like to think at this moment the ending of the story with Casper being born is really the true circle of life, if you will. And they captured it absolutely perfectly. So people who are voting for it hopefully understand that.
There was a point where I saw Al's Gina talking to Jeremy Schapp, like really engaging, and then Al in the middle of it. And I just shot him a look because I knew that he was in his own personal hell at that point. And then he started laughing. I got him to crack for a little bit. But I mean, Jeremy Schapp.
How many
ESPN.
Cocktails did you have, Al?
I only had 3 beers in the cocktail hour, and I had no beers after that.
Really? Okay.
Because I had so many beers
on
at
Friday.
The brewery the night before. I was not feeling well in the morning. The next morning, I was hurting.
Okay.
I heard he was close to blacking out on Friday.
Really?
Not true at all. I just had a bunch of beers. I was wanting to be on the microphone, being entertaining to people.
You're
so
a stud.
Good.
You're a stud. You were right in the middle of it all. That's great.
At one point, I think Gina said something to Jeremy when he was up for an Emmy.
Yeah.
And she goes, oh, that must be so exciting. He goes, I got like 70 of them.
Yeah, he's got a bunch of them. Right, exactly.
Yeah, humble brag, or not quite.
It was. By the way, news breaking that the head coach of the Pittsburgh Penguins, Mike Sullivan, and the Penguins have decided to part ways.
Okay, does that mean he coming to the Rangers?
100%. That would be the guy that I think everybody would want. He was an assistant under John Tortorella when Tortorella was here.
Yeah, so he won cups in 16 and 17,
yes.
Sullivan with the Penguins?
Yes.
And then, obviously, things got stale there last couple of years. This guy's got older. Crosby.
I would think that he would be the number one guy on the list. I would think.
Okay.
And, I don't know what kind of relationship he has with Chris Drury. This is a guy that obviously is a winner. He's in the division. He knows the teams. And he also knows, obviously, the New York City market and what needs to be done here. And who knows the Rangers better than an opposing coach that he sees, 4 times a year.
So this is a get him here makes a ton of sense.
Right now, for me, it does, unless there's something else I don't know. But I would think that he would be right there at the top of the list.
All right, very good. Jerry, what's happening with you?
We are brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. I'll give you 2 highlights from your Knicks win yesterday over the Pistons. First, the go-ahead shot, which came with about 45 seconds to go on the fourth.
Right corner, pump fake, Ananobi. Baseline drive with 7 to shoot. Towns up top, pump fakes, sidestep, right wing 3. Got it for the lead! Carl Anthony! Anthony Towns. Oh, what a shot. It's 94-93 New York with 46 seconds to go. And J.B. Bickerstaff calls timeout.
Is that about a 33 to 35-foot shot? How far?
I would say, isn't 24 feet the three-point line? So 28 feet out?
28 feet.
I mean, that is a long shot.
Yeah.
And impressive, too. He does it with such ease. Knicks radio
two of them that he had from the same distance.
Yeah. Yeah, and then you also had that fade. You know, he's done these fadeaways where he shoots almost from behind the backboard. He had that in the fourth quarter yesterday as well. Makes it look easy. And then here's the final sequence as heard in Detroit where there was no foul called.
Cade to the lane, rises and fires. It's off the heel. Batted around. 4 seconds, 3 seconds, two. Hardaway from the left corner. Guns for three. It won't go through.
Oh, they're mad. Wow.
Time appears to have run out on the Pistons.
It has, and now they're down three. Interesting conversation, which I just heard before I came in on TNT with, you know, Shaq and Barkley and Kenny Smith and Ernie Johnson in terms of the NBA releasing, you know, the official report afterwards where they admitted that a foul should have been called. The conversation was essentially, why even say that? It does nobody any good. I don't know. Should they? Shouldn't they?
Well, you know, they do that with the NFL referee with the pool reporters, and they'll say, "Yeah, we missed that call." And it, I don't necessarily know that it makes you feel any better, but at the end of the day, I think they're just trying to be as transparent as they possibly can.
Well, I mean, all these coaches talk about how the officials aren't, you know, they're not accountable for things. You know, they don't get fined or they don't get suspended very rarely. So I guess this
they
is the way.
Also, make $50 million.
Yeah,
each.
Right. So, I mean, maybe this is just one of those ways to make the coaches feel better, but I doubt that it works.
Well, here was Tom Thibodeau. His team played quite well in the fourth quarter.
When things weren't going our way, everyone was just, they said, it's keep fighting, and you win with, you know, your toughness and your discipline. And so, you got to bring that for an entire game.
I'm watching Mikal Bridges, who's laying on the ground, looking like he's like laying out by the pool.
Well, no, I mean, it looks like he was waiting for a chalk outline or something.
Yeah,
that was on the final sequence, right?
Yes, watch, because he falls down. Right,
he just stays there.
He falls down right there,
and then
stays there.
Following the track of the ball in the air. Very funny. Here was Jalen Brunson on ESPN on the physical nature of the game.
I mean, this is a pretty intense game. And I don't know how, but I'm happy we won.
You head home, ankle's all good?
Yeah, ankle's all good.
And that's because he went out of the game, back into the game. Tom Thibodeau said he changed shoes again. I didn't even notice that, but sounds about right. Here was Josh Hart on Towns, who had a solid game. Brunson 32, Towns 27.
Yeah, I mean, that's crap. You know, you guys covered NBA all the time. First three quarters, you know, you go out there and you hoop and, you know, you get guys involved. And in that fourth quarter, your guys, they go win you the game. And that's what they did.
And so now up 3-1, and they can close it out on their home court tomorrow night at Madison Square Garden in Game 5. You've also got three other series that were played yesterday, all three 3-1 series leads. I didn't realize how chippy this T-Wolves-Laker series has been.
Oh, yeah.
And even yesterday, you saw LeBron get into it with Rudy Gobert, who's telling him to shut the bleep up, and they call him soft as bleep. And it's pretty good, actually, because you got these guys reading lips now.
And I'll tell you what, Minnesota has got a lot of to play for, given the trades in the offseason and who their players are now. And it's kind of feels like a little Nick-ish from last year with DiVincenzo and Julius Randle.
Yeah. And Randle had 25. Anthony Edwards had 43 in that game. So Minnesota up 3-1. The Celtics beat the Magic. They're up 3-1. And the Pacers beat the Bucks 129-103 for a 3-1 lead there. The concern there is Damian Lillard and the Achilles. It certainly looks like he might have torn that thing. The Mets blew a 7-1 lead late. Seventh inning, they were up 7-1, and they wound up losing to the Nationals 8-7. C.J. Abrams with the game-tying RBI single in the ninth, and then scoring the winning run on that throwing error by Pete Alonso. Here was manager Carlos Mendoza. You cannot lose that game.
Yeah, tough one there. You know, late that one get away, especially after that outing from McGill. A lot of good things offensively early in the game, and, you know, for us to be there, you know, 7-1 in the seventh and let that one go away, that's a tough one. I got to turn the page and get ready for tomorrow.
In the series
finale.
They
got to win today, man. They got to take this one.
Yeah, no doubt.
Can't lose three to the freaking Nationals.
Agreed. Here was Ryan Stanek.
They get paid to play ball, too. So, like, you go out there and you execute your game plan. And, yeah, a couple balls fall or squeak through. Or
yeah, speaking of balls falling, you had that ball that fell in front of Soto, which kind of opened up a beginning for Washington. So the Mets are 19-9, the Nationals 13-15, and Mendoza mentioned Tyler McGill. He threw into the seventh inning for a no decision, but was charged with three runs, did strike out nine as he was cruising at one point, and that series finale at 4:05 today on 880 Mets Odyssey Radio. Griffin Canning, can he continue to pitch as well as he has so far in the early stages? He will take on Trevor Williams. As for the Yankees, they took two from Toronto. They won the first game 11-2, second game 5-1. In the second game, Aaron Judge doing Aaron Judge things. Maybe.
Aaron Judge leads off here, top six. Judge, Bellinger, Chisholm against Chris Bassett. First pitch, swung on, drag deep to right. Off the end of that bat, that ball is driven deep, and goodbye. Aaron Judge with a home run, and the Yankees lead it 2-1.
You think that was over the top?
No. I mean, the caller did.
The call, no.
I didn't think it was over the top.
Did you? Why, did he have over the top calls yesterday?
Where? No. It was one caller called up and said that he thought Dave Sims was over the top. So
that's not over the top.
Okay.
No, that was pretty good, actually. Let's see. Maybe the Ascara one, since it's his first one. Is that possible?
Well, if it were, I mean, that would be, that's an exciting goal.
I agree.
1-1. Long drive, right center field, off the bat of Ascara. Hey now, there it goes, way up in the bleachers. Home run for J.C. Ascara, his first big league homer.
That's pretty damn good, too. He's fired up for the kid.
And as soon as that ball hit the bat, you could tell it was going to, you know, it was going to be gone. Yeah. Even Susan groaned.
She knew.
She knew.
She was a happy groan, though.
Yeah, a happy groan, no doubt. Yankees, so they are 17-11 after taking two on Sunday. You've got the change with Luke Weaver being the closer now. Devin Williams out. We talked about that earlier. Yankees in Baltimore tonight. First pitch on the fan at 6:35. Will Warren will make the start there. All right, I got a bunch more of Bill Belichick.
Good.
From the CBS sit-down here from yesterday. First things first, I know this was a bone of contention for Al this morning in his presentation. I saw the 8-minute version where right out the gate he was asked about what he was wearing.
What's going on with this sweatshirt?
Well, you can see I've worn this one for a while.
Do you remember how you got the cut here?
No.
And he's referencing a hole.
Yeah, a hole in it. I mean, what is he thinking about? I mean, this is like, who would be, like Einstein, just like a complete bizarre human being?
Yeah, but he's not. He's obviously doing this on purpose for this particular interview. But, I mean, the guy knows how to dress well.
He wore a suit to the hockey game last week, which was weird.
I mean, he knows how to dress well. I think he's just doing this to troll. I don't know what it was about, but it was odd.
It was odd. Here are the two I played earlier, asked about his girlfriend.
You have Jordan right over there. Everybody in the world seems to be following this relationship. They've got an opinion about your private life. It's got nothing to do with them, but they're invested in it. How do you deal with that?
Never been too worried about what everybody else thinks. Just try to do what I feel like is best for me and what's right.
And then the next question, which was shut down by his girlfriend.
How did you guys meet?
Not talking about this.
No?
No.
Okay. That was that. He was at one point asked about his surliness.
It's like when I bring up a topic Boomer doesn't want to talk about.
See for the back. Not talking about this. Okay.
All right. So
moving on.
Anyway, Mike Sullivan.
Yes. Talk about Mike Sullivan. Yes.
Oh, man. He was asked about his surliness with the media when he was a coach with the Patriots. And he actually gave an answer.
Well, I understand they have a tough job. On the other side of that, as a coach, you know, you have a job to do, too. There's times where I could have been more accommodating. I admit that.
Yeah.
You just got to turn the page and move forward. As much as they want to dig deeper and deeper into the grave and see what more is down there, at some point you just got to, you know, look ahead and move on.
Which is fine, but that was always first question. Look ahead and move on. But you get it. And then
the first question out of the press conference while we're on Cincinnati. We're already done.
You know, to Copley should have asked if that sweater was older than Jordan Hudson. That would have been a good question.
We're not talking about that. Then this was interesting. So he's doing this, obviously, because he's got the book out. And I haven't read the book. I don't know if you guys have. But apparently there's not one mention of Robert Kraft in the book. And so he was asked why.
He's not in this book. How come?
He's not. Well, again, it's about my life lessons in football. And it's really more about the ones that I've experienced directly.
But he's not even in the acknowledgement section.
Correct.
And then here's a good one. Don't dare say he got fired because Bill's not having it.
Do you feel like you were treated with dignity and respect when you were let go by Robert Kraft?
Yeah, well, it was a mutual decision for that to for us to part ways.
He said fired.
It was a mutual decision.
You know, this reminds me of Sam Weiss and Mike Brown back in the day. After Christmas, I called up Mike Brown. I said, you fired Sam Weiss? She goes, no. I said, what do you mean? He goes, no. He left. And then I called up Sam. I said, Sam, what happened? He goes, I just got fired. I was like, what are we doing here?
Like, no one
right
seems
in the middle of my career, and these guys can't figure out if one let guy go or the other guy walked out of the room.
Well, is that the type of situation where the contract runs out and they just agree not to renew it?
Owners and coaches have very unique relationships. You know, the owners are demanding, and they want to win, and they'll spend the money and they'll do what you want to do. But if it doesn't turn out to be the right thing, they're going to end up firing you. And it's unfortunate that Bill's tenure at New England had to end the way it did. But the fact that he lasted that long. I mean, that doesn't happen. What do we got? Mike Tomlin. We got even Andy Reid got fired from Philadelphia.
That's right. Yep.
I mean, and Bill Belichick, the fact that he lasted that long, made that much money, won that many games.
And Super Bowls.
You would think that there would be a nod to the guy who hired him.
And
let
him
shop for the groceries.
And while the Islanders and Rangers season has been over, the Devils season might be ending quite soon as they lost Sunday.
Loose puck for Gostisbehere. Now for Aho, goes cross ice. Jarvis with a shot. They score. There's a broken stick on the ice. Svechnikov will be credited with the goal. And it's his stick that's broken.
Yeah,
I got to tell
broke
you, Jerry.
The Devils is what they did.
I got to tell you. Yeah, I think I speak for all of us fans here in the Northeast. We're getting sick and tired of the Canes.
Well, beat everybody.
They are a tough team, man.
Looks like you're going to have to deal with them for one more round at least because they have three games to one.
I mean, it's amazing watching Tampa and Florida go after each other. I mean, those two teams are great teams too, but man, that Hurricane team is so consistent.
And they will have Game 5 in their own building.
And they lost their starting goalie yesterday, Frederik Andersen.
Yeah, and the next
Timo
guy came
Meyer
in
ran into him.
Yep, came in and did just fine. All right, earlier, Al was pointing out. So Allie has moved into the office to do makeup early in the morning for us. So she's got her whole little area in the back corner. And earlier,
seems
Al
to be
was
very happy about that.
Yeah, I would say so. Al was pointing out, though, that it doesn't seem like she's cleaning up her makeup area in their office, maybe as she should be.
Kind of curious, though, she hasn't thrown out any of her boxes. When she empties them, she just throws them. So I'm curious to see how long that lasts for.
What do you mean she just throws them?
Well, it's just discarded boxes.
Like every other woman. I mean, this is what they do. If you live with a woman in a house, they take stuff out of cardboard boxes and then they leave it for a man. And wherever it is, the man will take care of this. They think it's like the tooth fairy. That's what they think, the cardboard box fairy. They never, the stereotype, but this is what happens.
Allie's in the wrong office with the wrong two guys.
So how many boxes does she have back there now?
Currently three empties.
Oh, okay. We're counting. We're keeping track. I like it.
There are three empty cardboard boxes with other mini boxes within those cardboard boxes also empty.
Oh, yeah. Maybe she has no idea where to put them.
You know, you see guys that are like they're nature guys. They'll go out, they'll see like a footprint or something. They, we got a bison around here. You just see like an empty cardboard box with small cardboard boxes in there just sitting for days. It's like, 30-year-old woman. somewhere around here.
All right, we'll have to get that straightened out tomorrow, Al.
I guarantee Benji's listening to this going, stuff that comes in from Amazon, she's leaving these boxes everywhere, just expecting me to do something with it.
I'm glad they said it.
Yeah, right, exactly. I can't say anything to her. Maybe this will change some stuff around this house.
I got a box.
For God's sakes.
There you go. Moment of the day. Have a good Monday.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Sometime in the next few days or maybe next week, I think it has to be soon because we're getting into May, give you the full details on kickoff to summer that will be happening at DJ's again this year. It is the Friday of Memorial Day weekend. It will start at 6 a.m. this year with the warm-up show. Our show will start at 7 a.m. We're going to have a special musical guest, but I'm sure they're just waiting for a couple other things. There's some T's crossed, some I's dotted before we
fully put everything out there, but we are looking forward to it. And anybody who is planning it, planning to go back down and wondering if we're doing it again, we are indeed doing it again. So excited for it.
Have you ever heard anybody call him Memorial Day Mem Day?
No, MDW, but not Mem Day.
Oh, yeah, I got hit with a Mem Day Saturday night from Beth from Flag and Anthem.
Oh, well,
it's
yeah.
Mem Day.
It's Mem Day?
I'm like, yeah, what?
No, I hear MDW. That's MDW.
Okay.
But not Mem Day.
I've never heard of MDW.
You haven't? Well, no. It's sort of like a text thing, you know, and people write MDW okay. And they say MDW, you know?
Yeah, but she hit me with Mem Day. I had no idea what that was.
Mem Day.
Where were you guys going to be for Mem Day? I said DJs.
Yeah.
Once you told me what Mem Day was.
Let's go to Dan, who's calling from Wall Township. What's going on, Dan?
Hi, how you doing?
All right, Danny, what's happening, brother?
I'm very excited that I actually got on. I'm a professional chef. I live about 2 miles from DJ's, and I was saying that I would love to invite you guys over for steak dinners and everything on Friday after DJ's.
Friday after DJ's?
No, it would have to be the Thursday night
before. Yeah, because we're out of there.
Okay. All right. That's fine. Thursday night.
But I may have a problem when
you want to come.
Right.
And I'll have your spinelli. I'll have all kinds of steaks. You want fish or whatever. I'll give Al Dukes a background check. He could check my address. I'm an average guy. Very good chef, successful in New Jersey.
All right.
And I would enjoy to have you guys there, and it would be very private.
All right, so, Gio, hold on, Brendan. Yeah. Are you going to talk this much if we come to your house, or are you just going to serve us?
No. Go ahead.
All right. What do you think about this?
Well, I mean, it's a very kind gesture, but, you know, Al Dukes, that Thursday night before Memorial Day weekend and the kickoff of the summer show, that's his time. He picks the restaurant. He pays for the dinner. It's his time to step up for the show and for us and to show his appreciation for everything. So I wouldn't want to ruin that for Al.
I would actually pick this guy's house as the place I'd love for you guys to go.
Are you paying for it?
Well, like pay for the meat?
No, I'll pay.
No.
This is a plant.
Al planted this.
Yeah, see, Dan, did Al plant you?
No, he did not. I just called in.
We'll put you on hold. Al will get your number.
Yeah, this sounds good.
Like a whole background check. Yeah, but if he's
weaseling his way out of his one night.
Yeah, but if he's going to talk the whole time that we're there eating.
Yeah. I don't know. Going to the guy's house.
What'd you think about the dinner last year that Al took us out to?
I'm trying to remember it. Was this the one that we saw Eric LeGrand at? Or was that?
Yes.
That was last year, not 2 years ago.
Was that last year? I don't know.
I think the server was like calling you big guy or something. Remember that?
Oh, yeah. That was the Iron Whale in Asbury Park we went.
Was that last year?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, I do remember that. About, yeah, the hey, big guy.
Yeah, hey, chief.
Yeah, chief, something like that. But I remember I liked the food, and it was great seeing Eric LeGrand. I kind of remember that place positively.
Hey, pal.
Yeah, it was one of those. That's the only thing I really remember about it was he was giving you all that stuff.
Yeah, he was like Mr. Bitchin' as a waiter.
Yeah, he was palling his ass off with you there.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, this would be unfortunate if, you know, Al was able to get out of the one. I'm sure it means a lot to him to be able to step up and pick the restaurant and pay for the meal. And now this guy's offering a free meal.
You know how we like to go out and order ourselves some sea smoke?
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, yeah. Nice bottle of wine and everything.
Yep.
Al picks it up. No. Allow me. It's very great to see. You know, I'll sneak that card before you can get it. Oh, no, allow me. Another bottle of sea smoke, no problem. Come on. The best. Only the best. Only the best for my guys. Let's go to Ken, who's in Nashville. What's going on, Ken?
Good morning. I was telling your producer there, I am a college football consultant. I worked with Ole Miss for 3 years. Still work for them. And I'm not a football coach I didn't play, so I'm not a talent evaluator. I'm a mind coach, an executive coach. So my job is to help these guys max out whatever talent they have.
That's okay.
In a nutshell. Boomer, by the way, I've worked for Maryland for 4 years.
I don't go there as much as I go to Ole Miss. I go to Ole Miss almost every week, but I do go to Maryland 2-3 times a year and work with those guys. Nice. So anyway, I've known Jackson since 23. I worked with him all year, 23, 24. And he really is a class act all the way around. And we do a formal assessment on these guys. It's a scientific tool, so it's not just opinions that I give players or give guys like you. Jackson is a guy who absolutely is going to maximize his talent, number one. Number two, he's a guy who typically his play is going to accelerate when he's under pressure. He won't crack. And we see that in a small percentage of guys that I test, maybe 15, 20%, something like that. And another kind of anecdote I tell you guys, I think you probably know Joe Judge is on the staff there at Ole Miss.
Mm-hmm.
And his office is right down the hall from where I do my work. Whenever in the last 2 years, last year in particular, whenever I was leaving, and I'd be leaving the building 7, 8, 9 o'clock at night, you know, football hours, without fail, I'd pass Joe's office going to the steps. And there's the door closed, and there's Joe, and there's Jackson sitting there watching film. Jackson.
Very good, Ken.
That's good.
Yeah.
Sold. You know, there we go, man. Hall of Famer.
He's got a good snap count.
Got a great snap count. Gold jacket guy now. He's hanging out with Joe Judge at his office after hours.
Well, that's good, though. I mean, just shows the commitment that the young man has.
Yeah.
Indeed. And, you know, listen, I think that he probably called in because I'm sure he saw your rant.
He might have. Maybe not. Mm-hmm. I don't know if he made it all the way down to Nashville.
Be interesting to me. I wanted to ask him, and I'm assuming that this would be the case, that professional football teams doing their background checks on all these players would call a guy like him, mm-hmm, and say, hey, what are these kids like in your eyes? I would think that would be part of the evaluation process and getting as much information as you could possibly get on these, you know, all of these different players.